And I'm a family man. I'm married, been married 8 years. I have 3 children. Kathy, why don't you stand up? My children may not be there, but at least it's proof I'm married. And there's my daughter, Celeste. And this is my wife, Kathy, and my son and other little daughter are back in Sunday. Oh, she's right. There she is, my little blondie. There. And my son must be back in Sunday school. Celeste says she likes standing out here listening to her daddy, so that really encouraged me when I got home, found that out. So she's been staying out here singing and listening to her daddy. But I'm concerned about the family, and having been, being a father, not having been, I still am a father and a husband. It's not all that I thought it was going to be when I got married, and then there was a lot more to it than I thought was going to be to it after I got married. And, you know, I always considered myself pretty sensitive, I thought, pretty gentle, and boy, I found out real fast that living with guys is one thing, living with a girl is a whole other thing, and there's lots to learn. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'm going to share with you some of my own personal testimony. I wanted to make this real personal today. I wanted you to know that I can relate to where you're at today, and then I wanted to look at some guidelines in the Scripture that help us. You know, there can be two problems in life or in marriage. One is not having any kind of a plan at all. You don't have any guidelines that are kind of, you know, keep you down the pathway of marital success or potential bliss. And the second is not having the power, no matter what the plan would be, to have a vibrant and exciting, fulfilling relationship. And it takes both. Like the song I was singing this morning, the power really is available. It really is available, but it takes power to have a vibrant, exciting, growing marriage and relationship with your mate. I have found, I'm sure that I could say this, and we would all agree, that it's a lot of work. And sometimes it's just easier just to throw in the towel or throw up your hands and just say, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to worry about that. I've always been this way. That's the way I'm always going to stay. And that's the breaks. You know, love me or leave me. And anyway, I got married in 1979. I think I was 23 then, 23 years old. And boy, my wife and I, when we met, you know, it was love at first sight. And it really, really was. I met my wife at this retreat under this snack bar. And we were both getting popcorn or something. And she was the only girl under there, and there was these other people over here visiting. And you know, I'm kind of friendly, so I thought, you know, well, I might as well talk to her and say hi. And she looked kind of alone, and we both looked like it was the first time we'd been anything like this, and it was. And so we started to talk, and boy, before you know it, I found myself thinking, you know, I never met a girl like this in my life. You know, this girl's really special. There's something really special here. So I was just a new Christian at the time, And I decided, you know, I want to be a man of integrity. And I want to be really upfront. And because I, in my past situations, I'd always used people, whether they were male or female. My motives weren't always really right and good. And in fact, very seldom were they. And I decided we were going to get each other's address. I lived in Webster City, Iowa. She was going to Iowa State and running for the cross-country team there at Iowa State University. And I thought, well, we'll start writing back and forth to each other. And so about 2 weeks later, I had really, you know, prayed about this and thought long and hard, night and day about this. And I decided, you know, I just got to be honest with Kathy, you know. So I went down to her dorm room and surprised her. And she was out on a run, a 15-mile run. And she comes back from this run, and I said, she was real surprised to see me, but seemed real glad to see me. That gave me a little confidence. And I thought, well, you know, Kathy, can we go talk? And she said, well, sure. So we went out for a walk and a talk. And I said, you know, Kathy, I said, I never met anybody like you. And I just wanted you to know, you know, we're going to be writing back and forth. But I just got thinking, I never want you to think anything underhand or anything like this. So I thought I'd just be right up front from the beginning. I think maybe we ought to get married sometime. And, you know, you might as well be to the point and be direct, I thought. So I thought, you know, she'd either get could get upset or slap me or say I was fresh or I don't know. Or she'd say, she'd think about it, and sure enough, she'd been thinking the same thing. And she'd been praying about the same thing. So I thought, well, this is great. Now, this is wonderful. I knew it would be like this, you know? And so, anyway, we got engaged about 8 months later, and we got married about 2 years later. So it wasn't as fast as it all might have seemed. And I thought, boy, I'm ready to get married, you know? I mean, I'm ready. Boy, I love Kathy so much. And, you know, I'm growing in my Christian life, and I'm just ready. So we got married, and we never really had an argument or anything like that before we got married, you know. I mean, you just always had my shoes shine, and you put your best foot forward all the time. But after I got married, I found this euphoria begin to just settle over me of comfortability of, whew, well, it's over now, I can relax. I can just be me. If you know what I mean. I can just, you know, where's breakfast? Why do we have to take that much stuff on this trip? I never had to take that much stuff before. And I found that the old Mark was right there. And it was very easy for me, if you'll pardon my expression, to just quite kind of treat Kathy like a woman, if you know what I mean. I don't mean that in a good way. I mean that in just kind of a, not as an equal. As just kind of, well, you know, woman. I didn't say that. It's kind of that mentality. And I began to find out I'm really kind of more like sandpaper than I am like Charmin. You know, I got some rough edges. Really rough edges. And in a sense, it's like, you know, I leave my wife bleeding all over the place. One thing after another that I would say. And I was really getting frustrated. And the real frustration, for those of you that are married are going to really know what I'm talking about and that have children, was when my wife got pregnant 3 weeks after we were married. Boy, did she change. Man, did she change. Now, you got to understand something. My wife used to run 16 miles a day when I met her. She used to do about 300 sit-ups a day. She used to lift weights. And she ran a marathon, 26-mile direct relief marathon before we got married. So, you know, my wife ran cold, rain, shine, anything. And I thought, this is great, man. That's the first girl I ever met in better shape than I was. At the time, now, well, that's another story. But I thought to myself, you know, boy, this girl's going to be able to do anything. Superwoman, you know. I mean, we'll go anywhere, do anything. Except she got pregnant. Not that I had anything to do with that. You know, I mean, you know. So all of a sudden, I found that my wife's energy level was almost zero. And she was getting sick, and I thought, man, Kathy, come on. I don't see nothing wrong. You know what I mean? I mean, what do you mean you're sick? It's one thing to have a finger cut off, you know, or not have an arm, or to have something you can see. You know how, you know what I'm talking about, guys. Okay, you girls know what I'm talking about too. But to just, you know, I just don't feel good. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Let's go to the doctor, you know. And on top of that, my wife, we'd been in a bad accident about a year and a half before that. And my wife's got a very bad back now. Very bad back. And it causes her a lot of problems. And pregnancy tended to complicate that, obviously. And puts a lot of pressure on the spine. And so, before I knew it, I was just always getting, I was frustrated. I thought, you know, I just don't understand. Am I making sense? Any of you guys out there know what I'm talking about? You nod your head? Jeff, quit nodding your head. You don't count. Well, I'm just being honest about me. If you can relate, that's fine. If you can't, that's fine too. But before I knew it, there was just an awful lot of frustration in my own heart, in my own mind. And I thought, boy, I don't know what I got myself into, you know? I mean, look, no one ever sat me down and told me these things. I'd like to do that with you today. Some of you are much more experienced than I am. But no one ever sat me down and told me what might happen when my wife got pregnant. No one ever told me the kind of situations that I might get into after I was married. I just thought it would be great. No one ever told me that a guy and a girl just don't see eye to eye on very many things. And what I mean by that is we're looking at the same valley from a different mountaintop. We're on two different mountains. They might be just as high, but she doesn't see the same deer that I see. And she doesn't see that tree and that brook down there and that cabin in the same picturesque way that I do. And consequently, like I shared with you last week about Adam, you know, it's like, Lord, it's the woman you gave me. You know? That started to be my mentality. Well, Lord, it's this woman. You know? I mean, my life would be so smooth. Lord, this woman would just get her act together. She'd just be this way. If she'd just be that way. And in society today, I realize that there's a, like we talked about last week, there's a real struggle today between the sexes, between male and female. Even philosophically, there's a struggle. And in fact, I was thumbing through a magazine the other day, and it was called Destroying the Myth of the Weaker Sex. And it was about athletics and running and bodybuilding and all this, you know. And I thought, you know, that's really hard on us guys. Let me help you understand why. Because we've almost, guys, we've begun to expect women to just be just like us. Talk like us, work like us, you know, have everything the same as us, be as tough, you know, be able to endure that pain, you know, get through that pain, man. And they don't need to be emotional. And what do you need to be emotional for? You know, you're a Christian, you've got the Spirit. You know, you don't need to be emotional. We can be calm here. Even though I'm not, you know, we can be calm. And you know, really, I don't really care so much what society says, but I do want you to understand this. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter in chapter 3, and we're just going to look at it. Just a couple verses this morning that for me have been real little daggers to the heart, and they've also been real guidelines for my marriage. That without them, I guarantee you, I wouldn't be married to my wife today. No credit to myself. If it hadn't been for the Lord and for His Word and for His help in my marriage, I wouldn't be together with my wife today. And this is partially one of the reasons right here in verse 7. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Another version says, husband, live with your wives in an understanding way and treat them with much care and respect as the weaker sex. Weaker does not mean less important. I want to make this very clear. Weaker here does not mean less significant. Listen, my little daughter Jessica is just as significant as my oldest daughter Celeste. My little daughter Jessica is just as significant as my son. My little daughter is just as significant as my wife. But my little daughter Jessica is much weaker than I am, or than her brother or her sister. She's in a different stage in life. But when it comes to male and female, God simply made us different. That's all. He did not make us unequal. In fact, Christianity is the only religion, if you want to call it a religion, that puts men and women totally on an equal scale. Hinduism does not. Muslimism does not. Islamic faith does not. Only Christianity. And God says right here, treat them with respect as an heir of the same gift of life that you have. We're the same, but we're different. And guys, it takes a considerateness to live with your wife. And well, I remember many times God would bring this verse to my mind, and I would go, Lord, I don't want to hear that. I just want my wife to be something different than a woman. But I still want her to be a woman. See what I'm saying? I want her to be a woman in this way, but I wish she was just like me in this way. Because then I wouldn't have to put up with that. Now, wives, you're going to get your chance next week because I'm going to talk about that. I know you feel the same way about other things, and we're going to talk about that next week. But I found God constantly bringing this to my mind, and it was like this. Okay, it's like a football game, and I've said this before. I don't mean rough, although sometimes it is. Sometimes it's block 'em, sock 'em, marital relationship, just like football is. But football is based on two things, a plan and a man. You've got to have a plan and rules to play the game, and you've got to have powerful men to play the game, or it doesn't work. Now, whenever the men get out of hand, all you do is bring them back to the rules. Whenever they get out of bounds, you bring them back in bounds. They don't get a run out of bounds. That doesn't count. They have rules that they know they've got to go back to. Hey, Joe Montana is successful because I think it's Bill Walsh, who is his coach, has a successful game plan that Joe Montana must follow. These guys get a lot of credit, you know, but a lot of the credit's due to the man over on the side who made the plan and who's devised all the plans. And then he lets his players be creative with it. This is what God has done. God has made a plan for the game. Only marriage is much more than a game. But God has made a plan for it. And then He allows your creativity, your individual personality, to come out in it. But you need the plan. Second of all, you need the power. And the power comes from God. The power comes from knowing and having that personal relationship with Christ, who lives inside of the believer and gives a new power to their lives. I have a very bad temper. My flesh, my carnality, very, very bad temper, and I can be very, very impatient. And I can honestly say to you today, I've not absolutely mastered that and brought that into absolute control every day and every moment, every week of my life. But there has been drastic change in my life in the last 10 years because of Christ. Before I came to know Christ, if I was playing a game with my brothers, we could never afford pool. You know, a pool table. So we had carom. Caroms. You know what caroms are? And if I lost, I always broke the stick. I never broke it on my brothers, but I was tempted. If my car didn't work right, I beat on the dash. If it didn't run right and I was working on it, I'd hit the fender with a wrench. So my character was not what I would call, you know, super exemplary, and by any means. Or I'd run off at the mouth, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of a prisoner. I was just kind of a prisoner to my sin, my depravity, to my old man. I was just a prisoner. I'd try to bite my lip, and I just couldn't bite hard enough. And I'd get mad. Well, after I got married, of course, then there was new pressures I'd never experienced in my life. And I got mad. Just like I used to. And oh, is it frustrating. I felt like Paul, you know, in Romans, where he says, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I wish I would do, I don't do. Oh, miserable man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this? And that's just what I thought. And so I just thank God for a patient wife, and through her patience, and then through God just helping me learn to avail myself of the power that I had now as a new young Christian, I began to realize I can be different. I don't have to be like I've always been. I got a brand new start in life, and I'm a brand new person. The Bible says that. So I started to look at this verse with new hope and think, all right, Lord, You help me. Lord, You help me. Live with my wife in an understanding way. I want you to turn to Colossians. Colossians, after Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Boy, that to me was about the most powerful, almost 10 or 11 verses in the Bible. The most pointed. Husband, Mark, love your wife and do not be harsh with her. Now, I know that some of you, I don't want to equate some of you husbands with me, because I realize that, you know, I'm an extreme. What I was at an extreme, at least I felt like I was an extreme. Some of you may not be at that extreme. Some of you may be just tremendous husbands. You can talk to your wife about this afterwards. But I know this, that in varying ways, in varying degrees, it's very easy for me to be harsh, but I don't think I'm harsh. You see, that's the catch. I don't think it's harsh. You see, my wife, like, this is typical. All right, we're going to go down to see relatives in Kentucky in about 3 weeks. And this happens all the time. Well, usually. There's been a few times I've been successful. And my little sweet wife, she'll be in the room and she'll be washing the clothes, you know, and ironing all the clothes we're going to take and packing and neatly organizing and packing these bags, you know. So I'll come into the room and I'll, you know, I've maybe been downstairs, right? The Raiders and the Vikings were playing, and then my man Marvin was on in this big fight, and then the Mike Tyson fight was on, and with my Pepsi and my chips. And I'm downstairs doing my part, you know, trying to keep the kids distracted, you know. Kids, come on down here. Mom's working. And then I look at my watch, because, boy, we're going to run on a schedule. And I said, now, honey, 3 o'clock. I want to be out of here at 3 o'clock. Okay. So I go up the stairs. I'm going to, you know, do my part. Oh! What are we doing? Moving? I mean, my goodness, wait. Now, listen, Kathy, I know I could have got those in the less bags than that. You really think we've got to take all 4 of those bags? I mean, and pillows? And toys? I'd like to be comfortable in the car, you know. Boy, isn't that wonderful. And that's just so normal. Now, I could have said it like this. And I could have hidden it. Sweetheart, do you really think we need, you know, all 6 of those bags? You know, we're only going for a day. Well, I'll move our time up a little bit at 3:15. Now, would you see if we can repack those into 1? Okay, and I'll be downstairs if you need any help. Okay. Back downstairs, okay? Some of you know what I mean. Those of you that are married, I think, can relate to that in one way or the other. That's harsh. That's harsh. That's what I'm getting at. Husbands, love your wife, and don't be harsh to them. Instead, you know, I thought instead, what it would make a wife feel like to come upstairs and maybe you helped her, maybe you didn't, but at least you came upstairs and said, wow, honey, wow, that's great, only 5 bags. That's wonderful. Man, you know, I so much appreciate you taking the time to do this. I don't know where we'd be without you. I mean, how could we even make a trip? In fact, I'm going to get you something special today. You know, husbands, you know how it is. No McDonald's. Now we're packing sack lunches and we're taking bologna peanut butter and jelly, because we're going to save money. It's costing us enough to get down there to Kentucky, 700 miles. And besides, that could go for my new fishing pole. And so we're not spending $15 at McDonald's, because it gets pop spilled on the car, gets greasy oily french fries on the new back seat. That's all there is to it. What it would make a wife feel like to, you know, you stop at her favorite little restaurant, whether it's a fast food or not, and buy her favorite malt. And again, to reemphasize to her that, you know, honey, I appreciate your work. I really appreciate that. Wow. Wives, wouldn't that make you feel wonderful? Raise your hand if that'd make you feel wonderful. Get it way up there. That doesn't mean your husband's never done it. Just get it, all you girls. Wouldn't that make you feel wonderful? Well, I know that you're shy and bashful, but it makes you feel wonderful. And of course, obviously, the opposite makes you feel like saying, but you don't usually, you big oaf. You do the washing and the ironing next time. And you pack the bags. And I'll watch the football game and stay with the kids. You know, I know that feeling. See? But you're gracious, usually, and kind and sensitive and really respectful. And you don't say anything. But turn to Ephesians. I know how you feel. And husbands, I know how you feel. I just want you to know that We're in the same boat, paddling and striving together. But those first two verses I gave you, I just wanted to tell you, if you'll just take those little guidelines, maybe you're not familiar with the Bible at all, that's fine. Go home later today and just write them on a little card and stick them in your billfold. And during the day sometime, like your credit cards, pull them out of your pictures, look at them. Think, Lord, God help me with that. Help me do that. This is my rule for living. Everyone needs rules for living. We need rules for living at our job. We need rules for living in our games that we play. We need rules for living in our marriage. And these are two really great rules for living. Be understanding. Be sensitive to the fact that she's different than you. She's weaker than you. And be careful. And be loving. The second one is don't be harsh. Be the opposite. Be sensitive. Strive to be understanding. And then Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 25. This is why I entitled this The Great Lover. Today, you know, when we think of The Great Lover, we think of Casanova. You know, we think of this big romantic Joe. But that's really only about, and I got to tell you, I learned this from experience, about 1/100th of being married is being that Joe, wonderful, romantic kind of guy. There's about 99/100ths left to the marriage. And God has asked you guys, men, He's asked us to be great lovers of our wives in every way, not just in one. And He says here in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. I have a couple little examples I want to share with you. You know, the Bible says this. Our standard, men, is what Christ did for the world. The standard is what Christ did for His bride, the church. That's the kind of love we're supposed to show to our wife. The kind of love is simply this. It is self-sacrificial. So I usually, when I read that passage, now I don't always. I don't always. This is what I strive for. I ask myself, what am I giving up for my wife? What am I giving up? You know, about a year and a half ago, I had a little example of this. We were getting back this tax refund, and you know, I don't make a whole lot of money. And there was things I'd like to get. You know, I thought I'd like to get maybe some clothes or do something to the car or just blow it. You know, I think it was about $200 or something like that. It wasn't a lot. Obviously, see, I didn't make a lot, so $200 wasn't a whole lot of money. But it was a lot just to have sitting there, you know. And this check came, and I got to thinking, you know, I'd read this verse, and I've been thinking about this verse. And I said to myself, I said, self, I had a talk with myself, man-to-man talk with myself. And I said, you know, Mark, you really ought to do something with that money for Kathy. Oh, but man, I don't know. You know, I really been waiting for this to come. Maybe we can split it. You know, I said. And I thought, well, you know what? My wife is the most valuable thing that I have. She's the most precious, treasured thing I have. And, you know, Lord, she really has done an awful lot for me. And I'm going to show her at least a small token of my appreciation for it. So I took the first 100 and put it in my pocket. And I said, honey, let's go down to the store. I said, the kids, they've been needing some new shoes. And so let's go down and check it out. And you know, that does encourage wives. I know that's hard for you to understand, but you know, when they see their little kids and eating things, it really encourages them. The husband notices it and goes and takes some initiative. But that's not really what I had in mind, but I didn't want her to know. So I said, well, let's go down and let's go get some stuff for the kids. She said, okay. So it was I'm kind of a spontaneous kind of guy. I need to learn to plan better. But I love to surprise things and do them right on the spot, you know. So I said, let's go, let's get dressed, let's go. So we went. So we looked at the kids' shoes, and I said, well, let's come back. Let's think about it and come back. So we were going past the women's department. I said, oh, wow, that is really cute top or whatever you call it. You know, oh, those are really cute pants. And I said, why don't you try them on? So Kathy's trying on these things. Then she tries on this other thing. And I said, oh, man, that looks great. Oh, I said, oh, Mark, she said, yeah, it does. She said, I said, well, look, let's just put them in the cart and we'll think about it. See, now I knew I was going to get them all the time, but she didn't. So let's just put them on the set. Let's go over and we got to have matching shoes. Let's go get some shoes. So we go over and we get two pairs of shoes. And I said, oh, belts. You got to have the matching belts. So we go over and you get the belt, see? Oh, the accessories. You got to have the earrings, the necklace. And I said, well, let's get one of those sweater vests to go with that. Before I knew it, we had about $100, $110, $115. We weren't in a real expensive place, okay. I wasn't at Macy's or something. I realized $100 at Dayton's doesn't even make a dent in one pair of slacks. So I wasn't at Dayton's. This was in Iowa, okay. And boy, I'll tell you, Kathy was just beaming from ear to ear, not to mention that she was wearing a size she hadn't ever worn before, you know, smaller. And she was just so excited. You know, and I was excited. I was thinking, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I love, this is great. So then we got home about a week later. She didn't know. See, I didn't tell her what the tax refund was. I got it and hid it. So then I took the just go do whatever you want. So you know what she did with it? She went out and got a few things for the kids, a few things for me, and a few things for herself. And that was really encouraging for her. You know, that was really, you know, a blessing. I mean, if I had more money, we would have done that more often. I realize some of you, you know, you got your own account, and that's fine. You know, I just at the time, I think I was making about $12,000 a year, and supporting my family of five. But our trailer was only $70 a month rent, so that helps you understand. I mean, I wasn't on welfare or anything, but I used to make a whole lot. So I was trying to do the best I could, and boy, did that mean the world to my wife. And I just applied this verse. I thought, well, Lord, I need to start treating my wife like I treat myself. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, he who is cruel injures his own self, but he who is kind benefits himself. My little boy the other day, this is a good example of this. I can't believe he did this, but, you know, little kids, you live and learn. The other day, we were wrestling, and he scratched me. I got a big scratch here in my face. We wrestle a lot. Play all-star wrestling and all that kind of stuff. Body slams on the waterbed, you know, wham. I realized his fingernails needed cut, so I went out in the steps and I cut him usually on the steps outside. You know why? Because my wife's always picking up fingernails and I don't like to pick up the fingernails. So I figured to be sensitive to her, I'll go outside and clip them and let them fly. See? So, my little son, I don't know what happened the other day. He got used to this fingernail file or something. So he's sitting yesterday. I had a meeting all day, and he's filing his finger. Filing. Pretty soon, started to bleed. He didn't have any fingernail in the top left. And he got down to the skin. You know, doesn't that give you the creeps? And then he did it to his other finger. And I thought that was so timely. As an example. You know, guys, we do that too. Sometimes in ignorance. With our wives. We're cruel, or we're harsh in ways we don't realize. And we're really hurting ourselves. And we don't even realize it. Before we know it, we're bleeding as well as our wife. Before we know it, we're hurting as well as our mate. And that's what this principle means. No one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. And this is what God, this is God's guideline. I share this at wedding after wedding. With a lot of people, it's not very popular. You know, it's not a popular message for sure, in our society today. But I believe the first downfall of our society has started men with us as husbands. And God can change that. You know, we're all in the same boat together, and God can come alongside and help. Now I want to share with you just two verses that have given me hope as a husband. These are the guidelines, but I want to share with you the hope that God has given me from His Word for my marriage. One of them is in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Or chapter 5. These are the last two verses, then we'll be finished. You know, some of the greatest encouragement to me in the world is to listen to other people's failures. I love it. You know why? Because usually they failed, and the reason they're up there telling me now about their failures is because by God's grace, they have learned through failure to succeed. They have grown. They have come along in life. And I find great encouragement by reading about David, by reading about Moses, by reading about Abraham. You know, those guys, they made a lot of bad mistakes. David made some really bad mistakes. And I kind of like that camaraderie, you know, because I'm not perfect. I'm not the world's greatest husband. Even though my wife may think so, I'm not the most perfect guy in the world. I'm not the most perfect father. I'm not the most perfect Christian. I'm not the most perfect man. I'm imperfect, and I make mistakes. And I like being with guys, you know, we can be real and we can be honest and we can support one another, you know. Well, do you know God is that way? And this encourages me in Hebrews chapter 5. Excuse me, chapter 4. I was right the first time. In verse 14. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I'll tell you, God is practical. And what God is saying here is this. Jesus came, He was tempted just like we are. The only difference is He didn't sin, but that's irrelevant. I mean, it's irrelevant in the sense that you don't have to feel bad because you did. Because we're not God, and He is. The point is, though, is He's the kind of high priest who empathizes and weeps and sympathizes with your shortcomings. And you can go into Him not groveling on your stomach, but boldly and say, God, man, help me. I really messed up today. I really loused this thing up. And I have gone to God many times, both in tears and in sorrow and with great utterings and cries. To God, man, help me. I have really made a mess of this. And what does this promise? That we will receive mercy, not judgment, but mercy. And grace to help you in your time of need. You know what grace is? Grace is anything you need. It's the magic MasterCard of God that gets anything you need in the spiritual sense of you need help, you need courage, you need sensitivity, you need gentleness, you need to be understanding, and God, I need help. And it's God's power that comes along and gives you help. And it says, He gives us help in our time of need. That has encouraged me so much as a husband to know that God empathizes with me, to know that Jesus knows what it's like to be that kind of a husband to His bride, the church, and He knows I need help. And the second verse, the last verse, is in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet... Well, let's start with verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, which I haven't. I have not been made perfect as a husband. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. This verse has been my directive for living for the last 4 years straight. I forget what's behind. I forget it. I think, to me, the greatest example of this is, again, the football game. I have watched quarterbacks, and you know, this is, you got to realize sometimes the kind of character that it takes to play some of those positions, who've made the most lousy, dumb mistake. I remember one game, I watched a well-known quarterback, and I don't remember his name, throw 4 interceptions in a row. The defense would kill themselves to try and get the ball back. They'd get it back, and he threw an interception. They killed themselves again, he threw an interception. two more times, till it was four times. And the coach didn't take him out of the game. You know, the fans were screaming for it. It was a young quarterback, rookie quarterback. Fact, I think it was Dan Marino. One of the games, this was not his rookie year, but it was the next year, when things just seemed to go bad for Danny. And Don Shula didn't take him out of the game. And his fans, you know, screaming, get him out of the game, get him out of the game. And here's this guy. Now, everything, the wind's totally knocked out of your sails, man. I mean, you got nothing to go out there. You got no track record, no success. And you're getting paid $1 million a year. You talk about pressure. You got to get out there. The only way that you can do it, the only way, is to, number one, have a coach who sympathizes and understands and meets your need where you are and shows confidence in you. And that's God's part. The second part is for Danny to forget it. The game starts from right now. The last 15 minutes of the game will never be retrieved. It's over. It's done with. Can it? Get it out of your mind. It makes no difference. Right now, you've got 20 more minutes to win this game. And it's fresh and it's new. You can throw the ball. You've been throwing the ball ever since you were a kid. Now get out there and start throwing the ball. Start with some short ones. Start with the ones you know you can make. And then go to the longer ones. And that, for me, has been my little plan for success, for being a husband, for being a Christian, is I don't worry about what happened. It happened. There's been times I've come to a meeting like this, and I'd be leading the singing before I was a pastor, and it's happened a few times after I've been a pastor, too. And my wife and I had a little disagreement on the way to the meeting. You know, you really like things to go perfect before you have to get up in front of a lot of people. You know why? Because your confidence is in how good you're doing, not the Lord. And I've had more time than once when I've come and I would have given my right arm to have found a way out of being in front of 300 people. And so I just started planning it. I said, look, it's a new ball game starting right now. Fresh mercy right now. Fresh grace right now. What's past is past. I just apologized to my wife, even if and I didn't apologize to my wife till afterwards. But the point was, husband, don't get frustrated. Don't get downhearted. Don't get discouraged. We're all going to fumble the ball. We're all going to have things in life come along and hit us real hard. Get up and go to the Lord. He'll give you the mercy and help you need and keep right on going. Don't get discouraged. Use these as your little guidelines and keep right on going. Well, I appreciate your attentiveness this morning. Next week, we're going to be talking about the wife. And her part and what she can do and talking about some of her frustrations, the difficulties of being a wife and a mother, and how we can be more successful, how God can help. Let's pray and thank the Lord for our time this morning. Lord, we just thank you so much that you've given us guidelines from your word, that you give us success. I thank you, God, so much for your mercy and for your grace. And I pray, God, that you would help us as husbands, as men, to play the man, to be the man that you want us to be. Help me, God. I need your help to be a better husband. I want to be a better husband, Lord. I thank you for my wife and for each wife here and for each husband, for each family. I thank you, God, that you've given us a blueprint for success, a playbook that if we follow it, it will work. So help us, Lord, to apply it. Help us to stick to the playbook. And God, give us your power to be successful. In Jesus' name, amen.